Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Pod. My name is Jeff Budke, alongside Peyton Moreno. Peyton, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you? I'm always doing well, man. You should know by now.
You know, I'm not going to ask you anymore. We're just going to assume the best from you.
Yeah, I mean, even if I'm not doing well, it's not like I'm going to be like, well, today was a horrible day and I want to talk about it on the podcast.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. This weekend, I ended up at a rodeo, of all places. My dad's a cowboy. It was his birthday. I was in the middle of nowhere, California, and my only sanctuary was checking my phone occasionally at Mariners updates. There's no internet where I was, no TV. It was.
I'll tell you what, man, that is a shaky leg to stand on for sanity.
It was
Mariners
shaky.
Scores.
And then this weekend, it seemed like any good news was followed by a home run by the Texas Rangers.
And it was like the smallest good news, like, oh, strike three, yeah. Oh, okay, a home run, you know, like, so.
Things seemed to escalate very quickly on the Mariners this weekend. We're going to get into that and so much more here on the pod today. It just is a very funny, you know, it's a very funny time for us because if you're listening now, we just got done watching the Mariners shellack the Astros 7-1. Felix
quite
Hernandez.
Quite literally just got done.
What was that?
Oh, I just said quite literally just got done. The game got over less than 10 minutes ago.
Felix Hernandez with his 100th victory. Congratulations, Felix. I know you listen to the pod. And
maybe someday.
It's a great thing. You know, he went out there and he got his 100th win. But we have a lot more pressing needs to talk about than this dramatic victory at Houston. How did you describe this win earlier?
Oh, I don't remember. Mountainous? Cataclysmic? no, not really, actually. It's a lot like graduating from high school when you beat the Astros. It's something that is the bare minimum. You beat the Astros, it's the bottom of the line, it's the bare minimum, everyone expects you to do it. And yet, as Mariners fans, much like when kids graduate from high school, we make a big to-do and we celebrate about it. But really, they're just doing the bare minimum of what we expect them to do, which is beat the worst team in the league. I mean, come on, really? Where was this against the Rangers, man? We couldn't score more than three runs in that whole series, but we can score seven on Houston in their, like, massive ballpark? What's the deal? I mean, that's home run heaven over in Arlington.
Yeah, Houston is a hitter's park as well, but in Arlington, that's getting blanked by Texas twice. We didn't score on Friday or Saturday. That's only happened, I think, one or two times in the history of that ballpark.
Yeah. Ichiro even would hit home runs in the ballpark at Arlington over that right field fence. He'd just line drive them over there. It's like one of the easiest parks in the entire league to hit home runs in, and we couldn't manage more than three runs. I mean, seriously.
I want to talk about a positive before a negative here, just for the sake of sanity, you know.
Yeah, we got to get on some positives, otherwise I'm just going to rant.
I am going to say, before we rant, because there's a place for that today, Brandon Mauer's numbers looked very good. It was his second start against the Rangers. He went, got into the seventh inning, gave up two hits, two solo home runs, but otherwise not another hit, three walks. He looked good.
I think he shook off those jitters that he had. And that sounds like a lame excuse, like, oh, he was nervous, it was his first outing, blah, blah, blah. And of course you're going to think things like, well, great athletes can take that pressure, and that's partially what makes a great athlete. But, I mean, I really think that he just was nervous. Because spring training is a far cry from what regular season ball is. And so I think that he just kind of got under his belt a couple starts, and he did poorly, and he got it out of his system, and now he's able to pitch and, you know, only give up two runs on two hits. That's fine. I'll take that. You know, that's a quality start.
Absolutely, and he seemed in control. Strikeout number wasn't high. I think it was three, but it was absolutely adequate and gave the Mariners a chance to win, which is way more than you can expect from a 22-year-old, you know, in most other professions. It was good to see those numbers. Joe Saunders, on the other hand, should only be allowed to pitch at Safeco Field.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's... I wish we could have, like situational rotations. Because we were talking about this, Daniel and I, the other day. Like, what if we just have certain situations where, oh, well, we're away. Why don't we not pitch Joe Saunders and instead pitch, I don't know, Erasmo Ramirez? Send
or
down
Blake Bevin even.
I mean, I guess.
I understand that you're kind of like, you're kind of serious, kind of joking. I'm dead serious. His home starts, he has two home starts and two road starts. His home starts, he hasn't given up an earned run. His whip is below one, it's 0.9. And he has seven strikeouts on the road. He's 0-2 with 11.42 ERA and a 2.654 whip, which is
disgusting. What ballparks did he pitch in? What ballparks Oakland. Other than Safeco has he pitched in? Okay, the Coliseum?
Oakland's
which
huge.
Is weird. No, go for
Oakland
it.
Plays just like, Oakland plays just like Safeco. It's just cavernous. There's so much foul room, and it's a pitcher's park. Ugh.
You know, I'm going to have to look this up real quick, but I don't think Oakland has ever had a batting champ.
Wow. That is, now that's a really good stat. While you're looking that up, I will say the biggest surprise of the weekend for me was seeing the name Hector Noesi pitching for the Mariners and pitching well. He pitched 3 1/3 innings, gave up one hit, and had two strikeouts. And I couldn't believe how efficient he was. Granted, the Rangers were up, I think it was 7-0 on Friday when he came in, but still... It was a lot more than I expected.
To see Noesi do well doesn't make me hate him less, because I still really don't like him. But to see him do well makes me be like, eh, okay, all right, like, you're fine. I'll let you be, you know. I'm not going to... How about this? I won't say anything bad about him, and that'll be his reward for this time.
Perfect.
Now,
let's
if he starts
on.
Doing this consistently, then maybe I'll have something nice to say. Also, I can't find a stat as specific as, has Oakland... had a batting champ since they started playing in the Oakland Coliseum. So, I mean, I heard that stat. I don't know how accurate it is, but I'm just reporting it again secondhand. But people say it's because of that massive foul territory where foul balls that would normally go off into the crowd can easily be caught by fielders, and it makes for a lot more outs. So,
yes,
lower batting
absolutely.
Averages all around.
Something that has bugged me for a while... and I feel like because rotation only has five, and we talk about this a lot, and we definitely have more things to talk about, and we're going to talk about how great Hisashi Iwakuma has been in a little bit more depth and his potential. But you know that FU mode, and I don't mean to, you know, sound... It's just something like you go into, like, beast mode, or, like, where something drives you even a little bit more than normal. And Justin Smoke has tapped into that in the past, whether it be from a bad situation or be it just playing at Texas, the team that traded him away, that didn't give him, you know, the keys. He usually performs well there. He's hit for power there. And this weekend he was abysmal. And so was the entire Mariners team. And I wonder if they have that last kick, you know, that last pissed off, no, we're not going down scoreless two games in a row attitude.
Well, Seager seems to have it, if anyone.
Mm.
Love but
me.
I mean,
love Kyle Seager.
Oh, Kyle Seager's great. But the thing of it is like, I don't sense that attitude or that kind of swagger from this team. You know, I mean, I get it a little bit from Morse, but Morse can't carry the team by himself. And ever since that, when he's hit six homers in six games, everyone's been pitching around him. He hasn't gotten great pitches. So Morse needs to lean back a little bit. Morse needs to let people pitch around him. He needs to not swing. He needs to get walks.
The problem
so
isn't
that,
that
other
he's
guys
getting
can...
bad. Sorry about that. The problem is that he's... The problem isn't that he's getting bad pitches. It's that he's swinging at those bad pitches.
Well, and I was on my way to that. The thing of it is that there's... it's all good. It's all good. There's a lot of pressure on him from everyone, team, the fans, you know, because he is the guy, you know, he's Michael Morse, and he was supposed to be the ringer this year and come in and get all those hits. And then when no one else is hitting the ball, he takes it upon himself to try and grab those hits, but he's not getting good pitches. He's getting junk at the plate. And so what would help him more than anything is to ignore this pressure, literally ignore us, the fans, being like, come on, Morse, get hits, and just sit back on his haunches and not swing for a while and let himself get walked a few times. And then people will start pitching him pitching him pitches he wants to see. And I think that the rest of the team needs to do completely the opposite. I think that a lot of players on this team, Ackley, Smoke, they like sitting back and watching pitches go by. They'll watch a strike go right down the middle because they want to get the count up. They want to get the count up. You know, they want to get the count in their favor. But they need to start swinging at those pitches. And the problem is sometimes they do swing at them. But especially in Dustin Ackley's case, when they get those good pitches, those fastballs down the middle, they swing at them and they pop them up behind the plate back to the catcher, or they foul them off, or they go 4-3. And so how can we have a good hitting team if these guys don't swing at the good pitches, and then when they do swing at them, they just kind of foul them off? And that's what I've kind of noticed. So I think everyone but Morse needs to start being a little bit more aggressive at the plate. That's just my opinion.
I like it. On the Morse situation, I do think that his injured finger is affecting him a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. He says it's not, but we know it is.
It is. He was 2-for-20 directly after. He went hitless again tonight. I think he was 0-for-5. He seems pressing a little bit, and I agree with you on that, but I think his finger, if Michael Saunders were healthy, which he will be on Friday, according to, different reports from, Jeff Baker and Greg Johns on Mariners.com, if Saunders is healthy and Morse is still struggling, I think he will sit for a couple games to regain confidence and maybe get his hand right, which would be good for him.
And I'm okay with that. It gets to the point where you see Gutierrez sit so many games in a row over leg tightness, and you start rolling your eyes a little bit because, like, my legs get tight just sitting here. Like, oh, ow, God, you know? Like, but so you start rolling your eyes a little bit at Gutierrez, and then tonight he hurt himself again. I never heard the outcome of that. Do you know if he's out at all, or if he just kind of tweaked something a little bit and he'll be back tomorrow?
It looked like he tweaked a hamstring. I would be surprised if he played tomorrow. But I would also be more surprised if he ended up on the DL.
Okay. Well, I start rolling my eyes at Gutierrez a little bit. But with Morse taking a couple days off after breaking his pinky, essentially, I mean, no one can blame him for that. If anything, his return was a little rushed, in my opinion.
I didn't think his return was rushed at the time, and that's because I'm not a doctor. I was wrong. I think he should have waited. I believe that if Michael Saunders had been able to help in the outfield, if Morse is our best defensive outfielder, we got a problem and he needs to play, which was the situation for a little while there. But hindsight 2020, I wish he had waited.
It got to a point where I was looking at the outfield of Bay, Chavez, and Ibanez all out there together for a couple games, and I would just kind of put my head in my hands and be ashamed. Not that Chavez is doing that bad. He's doing fine, but I mean, there was, at one point, Ibanez let a home run go right over his head, and he tried to jump for it and just timed it so horribly, and anyone else would have caught it, I think. Like, even Morse, because he's big and tall and has those long arms, but, you know, tiny little Ibanez, I mean, I say tiny, he's probably taller than me, but he looks tiny compared to Morse. Tiny little Ibanez jumps up there, and he misreads, miscalculates, mistimes, and the ball goes right over his head, and I mean, that's just one home run, whatever, but... Yeah. You know, it's not a good looking outfield in my opinion. But we don't have to deal with it anymore. I'm just saying.
Andy Chavez is also super short. He's fast, but he's super short. And I think what you and I really want the most is Michael Saunders back healthy soon.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I would want to cover really quickly. Last week, I write for NorthwestSportsBeat.com. You can check me out on there on Tuesday night. I wrote, enough's enough. I'm tired of playing Dustin Ackley drinking games where I take a shot every time he grounds out to second or he strikes out, because I just couldn't afford it anymore. And I said, he needs to go down to AAA. It's just, it's over. He needs to go down, get right, and come back. Since then,
for the sake of your health, man.
Yeah, for my health. Since then, he's 8 for 24. So that's pretty good. He's starting to hit the ball to the opposite field. Like you said, he's not taking every stupid pitch and then having to hit with two strikes. He's being aggressive. He's hitting the opposite field. He had 3 hits tonight. I think we have reason to believe that he won't be hitting 112 anymore. But from there on, I'm not sure what to say after that. You know?
Yeah, here's hoping. And he had his second extra base hit of the season tonight. I'm pretty sure he had another double.
And Smoke had a double, which has been my biggest complaint, is that the three of them, Dustin Ackley, Justin Smoke, and Jesus Montero, who hit a home run so far tonight. He hit it dead center, probably cleared the 404-foot marker by 20 feet in Houston. Just crushed it. Tonight was a good sign, but if we had recorded this 4 hours ago, you know, things change, and in baseball, things don't change that quickly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the thing of it is it was like I'm saying, dude, this is still, we're talking about high school achievements here.
Yeah.
I mean, home runs are great, and home runs are home runs, and it's nice to score 7 runs, but when you do it against the Astros, and I mean, I'm belittling that. I'm belittling their victory tonight. When we couldn't manage to, like, pull it out against the Astros when last time they were in town. But, so I guess we got to start somewhere. But what I'm saying is, when we start doing this consistently and against teams that matter, that's when I'm going to get more excited. Like, there are going to be random days where Dustin Ackley will get 3 hits and we'll score 7 runs and Seager will bomb home runs out to, you know, wherever. But that doesn't mean that we're a good team yet. And so I'm trying not to get too excited. I'm trying not to let myself get too excited for my sake. I mean, I want to be excited.
Something that I have to remind myself, if you have a player that is a 300 hitter, he's hit 300 forever. He's just consistently a 300 hitter, and in his last 9 at bats, he's 2 for 9. So simple math: his next at bat, he should get a hit. That's his average. That's what he's always done. But baseball doesn't work that way. Baseball is a strange thing where we know who players are because over the course of 500 to 600 at-bats in a season, they become predictable. But in the moment, in small sample sizes, players can do anything. And it's just, it's a hard thing to, like, swallow. You know, the Mariners are 8-13 right now. Are we an 8-13 team? Maybe. Are we the worst in the American League in hitting again? Maybe, but it is really early, and if this pocket happened in August, would we even notice?
You know, maybe not, but it doesn't really matter because it's not happening in August. It's happening now.
It's happening
and
now.
And the thing of it is, it's like, think about it. If this were to happen in August, but say we had already won, like, you know, however many games, and we were on track to maybe be in the playoffs... Sure, it'd be a bummer if we started losing a bunch of games, but at least we would get a gauge of how this team is improving before getting into kind of a cold streak. Except for now, or as opposed to now, rather, where we just come out of the gate firing on no cylinders, you know, it's a little bit different, I think. Now, it doesn't inspire any confidence that they're going to start doing well anytime soon. And I've heard different sportscasters and people on the radio and TV say, like, well, will we even notice if this is happening in August? Like, when everyone's gotten time to get their batting average kind of regulated? And I say, screw that. It's time now that everyone had their batting average regulated. There shouldn't be anyone on this starting squad, with maybe one exception, who's batting under 200 anymore.
200 is really low.
Yeah, 200 is extremely low. That's why no one should be batting under it.
No one should be batting under 200. And I look at a team, I know National League, this is outside of our wheelhouse, but the Colorado Rockies right now, expectations going into the year, everyone's like, oh, fourth or fifth place in the National League West. They're 13-5 right now. They're hitting extremely well. They have their two best players performing like their two best players. in Troy Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez. And I would, even if you told me that, you know, it was a 50-50 shot at who would be better by the end of the year, I want that start. I want that. I want the crowd coming to our games thinking, you know what, maybe this is different.
It could happen.
And right now we're not doing that. Something that was strange this week for me. Do you subscribe to Sports Illustrated? It's a fairly popular magazine that comes out every week.
Dude, I know what Sports Illustrated is, but I do not subscribe to it because I'm cheap and I keep forgetting that it exists.
Definitely wasn't trying to mock you there as far as, like,
no, it's all good.
Joke. But the Sports Illustrated that came out, I looked in the table of contents and on page, like, 40-something, it said, are the Mariners the next Nationals? And I thought to myself, am I being punked? Like, someone put this on my doorstep with this fake article here. And because we've talked about, like, that would be... That's the jump that we're hoping to make. A team that's got great farm system, that's got great leadership in the minor leagues, a GM in Jack Cedrunic who has drafted extremely well in the past. I'm not talking about Ackley and Holston, but like Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder.
Oh, yeah,
those
yeah.
Those were his guys. He wasn't the GM, but he was the director of scouting for the Brewers. And he's built up this organization that, you know, we're due. And that's what the article said, and the whole time I was reading it, I thought, I wish we scored more than 3 runs against the Rangers the weekend this article came out.
Yeah.
That would have been fantastic.
Because then maybe people would take it seriously.
Yeah. We also, the Mariners, struck out 63 times over the last 5 games, not including tonight. The Mariners only struck out 3 times against the Astros. Much better performance. Oh, man.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah, please.
I know I told you the other day that the top of my baseball player wish list for the Mariners was Mark Trumbo.
Yeah.
But I've definitely changed my mind.
Okay.
And this will never, ever happen in a million trillion years. This is just me fantasizing about players who I want on our team.
Yes.
Joey Votto.
Oh.
I want him on our team so bad. I would throw half the team under the bus, literally, to have Joey Votto on our team.
The on-base percentage king, great first baseman.
317 batting average lifetime. Ugh. Since 2007, he's been in the majors, and only 1 year has he batted under 300, and that was 297, so if you can even count that as under 300, I mean, and... Man, that was in 589 appearances. Like,
a very consistent bat, a dream for us. Did you know that the summer we traded Pineda for Jesus Montero, that Joey Votto was actually a target for the Mariners?
Oh, I heard.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I don't pay any attention to the National League, so I didn't know just how good he was back then when he was kind of in our crosshairs a little bit, and so I was kind of like, Joey Votto, take him or leave him. But now I mourn that we didn't get him. Joey Votto would be awesome. Of course, if history is any indicator, he'd come here and start batting like 190 and then pop like 4 home runs and then get hurt and end up going to another team and having a career year. So, you know, whatever.
Whatever. Let's take this quick break to our Twitter handles. So you can follow us, our @ Paden Moreno. PadenMoreno. You can give him a follow. Also, @ Jeff Budke, JeffBudke. Be sure to follow us on there. And we have a new Facebook page because we're real now. And you can like us on there. You can send us your feedback. Please write the show. We'd love to answer questions or anything like that.
Questions would be good. A Q&A, little Q&A segment could be a lot of fun.
I believe we're attempting to do that and we're excited. And I... want to give a shout-out to Wichita, Kansas. Big downloaders of the Seattle Mariners pod, and we would love to hear from you guys.
Well, something like 22% or 25% of people who downloaded it are from Wichita or something
like
that?
It's a really strange percentage, like a high percentage, where I actually asked you, Peyton, if you had family there.
None.
Because I don't either. It's such a strange thing, but we hope that you continue listening, and we appreciate your support.
Here's to you, Mariners fans abroad, around the country, and around the world.
Yeah, we're taking over. Casper Wells update. He is now in
Oakland. The Casper Wells report.
He is now in Oakland A, for all of you curious out there. And Kyle Seager leads the American League in doubles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
With 10. And he's hitting .341 in his last 2 weeks.
Attaboy, Kyle.
Okay, I gotta... I have to do something here. I watch a lot of Mariners when I can. I watch Root... They're always on Root Sports. I like Root Sports. I think they do a good job. And there's a commercial that comes on, and it's got Gonzaga basketball and Timbers and Sounders soccer, and then the Mariners commercial comes on, and they do a series of announcers, like, going over the music that they play with it. You know what I'm talking about. Am I making it?
This sounds vaguely familiar.
Well, there's a bunch of...
I listen to most of the games on the radio. I don't watch them on TV that much, and when I do, I kind of mute the TV and go do something else when the commercials come on, so...
I don't blame you at all. I'm just too lazy to do that. And the commercial comes on, and I get kind of, you know, it's a good commercial, it's getting you pumped up. And every single time this commercial, it makes me laugh because... they show Felix Hernandez when he throws his perfect game and he throws his arms in the air and his teammates are running towards him. And Dave Sims, the announcer, exclaims, "It finally happened!" And it's just really exciting. But the way they clip the video, Dave Sims' voice continues. And at the end of "It Finally Happened," it's a Justin Smoke shot of him hitting a home run. And I just hope that Dave Sims, like, sees that commercial, and someday when Smoke hits a home run this year, he screams, "It finally happened! A Justin Smoke home run!"
Yeah, if we get any of those. Has he hit one yet this year?
No.
I don't remember.
The answer
no?
Is no?
Okay.
And I see that every time, and I think, someday, Justin will hit another home run, and it will finally happen.
It could happen.
We'll see. Did you hear about the Mariners network?
I did. They bought out the parent company that owns Root Sports or whatever?
Correct.
Other teams did this, right? Didn't Texas do this?
Well, the most popular is the Yankees.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With the YES Network. And they make the majority of their money via that network. And,
wow.
And we think about, you know, obviously there's 162 baseball games a year, minus, like, you know, 4 or 5 that Fox gets for national broadcasts. And then this new station, like Root Sports, could maybe show Sonics games when the Sonics get to town.
Ooh.
Or could maybe show, you know, college basketball, like the Huskies or the Ducks or the Cougars.
I love how you say when the Sonics get to town, like it's a sure thing.
I'm not messing around with that. The answer is it's when. It's happening.
Yeah, it's got to happen. It can't not happen.
If not the Kings, it will be the Bucks. That's a podcast for another time, but I'm calling it. And this revenue, which, you know, if the Mariners had signed on with Root Sports again, it would have been upwards of, you know, in the billions of dollars. They're going to make all that money now that Root Sports would have made. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That's Albert Pujols money.
It's Albert Pujols money. And it's a great thing if it's handled correctly, and I think it could. The Mariners could be coming into a lot of income.
I would be so okay with that. And that's such a smart move from a mid-market team like the Mariners. Because, I mean, we've seen it happen year after year after year with Prince Fielder, with Josh Hamilton. We either are unwilling or unable to stay in the race financially for these top-bill free agents, because we're a mid-market team and we have to afford to pay everybody. You know what I'm saying? So this could be a really good move for the Mariners. Hopefully some of this money will go back into actually getting some players instead of turning Safeco Field into a theme park, which seems to be a priority.
Yeah. The mid-market aspect that you talk about, I agree with 100%, but it's a very cool thing in that the Mariners are kind of isolated. So we have fans in Idaho, in Oregon, Alaska, even Northern California, where the brand can extend. And if the Mariners Network can show games that are more relevant to people in Oregon, I don't think they would get the Blazers games, but in that situation, that would really open up a lot of things and there's just revenue to be had.
A lot of markets that are untapped at this point, probably.
Yeah, Boise, really untapped. And, you know, it'd be a great thing. And we'll be talking about this more when more details come out. This happened this week, and we'll be keeping you posted on that for sure. One of the last things I want to talk about, Hisashi Iwakuma, and then we're going to talk about National League play in the National League, but Hisashi Iwakuma has been insane. He went on Thursday and actually, you know, outpitched Justin Verlander, who won the MVP and the Cy Young 2 years ago in the National League. His whip is below .5, and what that means is whip is walks and hits per inning pitched. And if a player has about a 1 whip, they're in a great situation. They're in a position to, you know, be on a contending team and pitching really well. And Iwakuma is giving up, he's allowing a base runner every other inning. And he's just completely just cruising through opponents. And I remember I was talking to my other Mariners friend the other day, Ben. I was telling him, hey, whenever you're just upset, whenever you look at a box score and the Mariners lose by 7, just breathe in and think Felix Hernandez, and breathe out and think Hisashi Iwakuma. Just repeat that over and over and you should be okay.
Seeing his performance made my heart leap from my chest. Not to mention, I mean, I was nervous going into that game because, yeah, I know Hisashi Iwakuma is a great pitcher, and I expected him to only give up, you know, a run or two against Detroit, being the high-octane offensive team that they are. I figured that, this is honestly what I thought. I thought it would end in a no decision for Iwakuma. One of the relievers would lose it for us, and none of the pitchers would. Yeah, and no, serious. And then none of the pitchers would get any run support, and we'd end up losing to Detroit, like, you know, 7-2 or something. So to see us actually win that game and to see Iwakuma pitch the way he did, that was insane, and that made my day. I was so happy.
Absolutely, he. Whenever you have a situation where you have a Cy Young winner, an ace of the staff, and he's the second best pitcher on your team at the moment, you've had a good month. I remember last year Jason Vargas won the pitcher of the month for the month of July. And I think Iwakuma, if he performs well against Houston tomorrow, will take that crown in April. And what an honor for him. A guy that we have relatively cheaply. He's in the first of a 2-year, $17 million deal. And if he can pitch this efficiently, obviously he won't be this amazing all year, but, you know, we've talked about how good he's been of, you know, the last six months, since July of last year, he's been great. So let's see if he can keep this up.
Yeah, I don't know what his personality is like, but he really strikes me as kind of Felix's foil, if you know what I'm saying. Whereas Felix is kind of vocal and he'll come out and be like, oh, I love Seattle, blah, 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 the city, this, that. And we'll, you know, we'll see him go out when they have the kids run the bases beforehand and sign balls or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I feel like Iwakuma, I mean, he doesn't have the star power of Felix, not at all, but he's a very talented pitcher, and he's the kind of the second of that 1-2 punch we got going, and I feel like he really fits that role of the second, because he's Felix's foil. He's the strong, silent type. And obviously, I don't know him in person. I don't know if that's actually what he's like in the clubhouse. But that's really what he strikes me as. Kind of a soft-spoken, low-key kind of guy who's going to go out and get things done that need to get done and pitch well. And I really like that about him.
Two very different pitchers with different approaches getting the same result. And that's hard to approach back-to-back for other teams, for other lineups. Great news for the Mariners.
I mean, it's not this drastic, but it's like having a 1-2 punch of like Randy Johnson and Jamie Moyer, you know, like just two pitchers still both still winning games and doing well, but both in very, very different ways. And that's what makes pitching so awesome and so fun to watch, is that there are so many different ways to go about it. And in hitting, it's kind of, I mean, like, there are different ways to hit, too. You know, you can hit for contact, you can hit for power, whatever. But, you know, it always seems to kind of circle back to the same skills and techniques. But in pitching, it's all different, it feels like. There are different ways to approach it, a million different ways. So pitching's awesome. I wish I could do it. I always did. I was always bad at baseball in general, pitching especially.
But
I'm rambling.
But pitching is beautiful.
Oh, pitching is beautiful.
We're going to get out of here on this. The Astros, obviously new to the American League this year, and I was intrigued by the thought of, you know, if the Mariners played in a National League park, they would not have a DH. And I wonder who would have sat for this series, because although Justin Smoke has been bad offensively, his defense is quite valuable, and Morales is not great at first base. And I wanted to hear what you thought about that, Peyton.
Man, that's tough. I mean, I can tell you what I would have done, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't make a difference. I think that what would have happened is they would have sat Smoke and put Morales at first. I mean, it's probably that simple, because you can have the greatest fielders in the world, but if the other team is smacking you around and scoring runs, it doesn't do you a lot of good. It does us more good to score runs than to have... It does us more good to have someone in the lineup who's capable of getting hits and scoring runs than it does someone who's capable of playing a mean first base. Because the rest of our field is pretty good. The rest of our infield is pretty good. So they could pick up the slack for that. And so I definitely think they would have put Morales at first and just sat Smoke. That's what I would have done.
I agree. I think Morales would have played 2 out of the 3 games, and, you know, maybe Smoke would have gotten that third one, but, you know, who knows. I'm good. You anything else you want to touch on, Peyton?
I don't think so right now, man. I got to give my spiel about counts and aggressiveness. I got to give my spiel about Morse and walks, so I think I'm
and
good for right now.
And you laid it down.
I did. I tried. I mean, I might not know what I'm talking about. I'm just some guy who talks about things that he thinks and things that he sees, but there it is. Take it for what it is.
And we will continue to do that. Tell your friends. Kyle Seager, take us to the promised land. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
Cheers. Is yours running?
Mine is running.
Perfect. Okay, we'll get going in a second.